Bill and Lydia Allsass.
We were here several years ago with our children, Luke and Ariel. Just to give you a quick update on them, Luke married last October and now lives in Virginia, in Roanoke, Virginia. Ariel just finished her freshman year at Indiana Wesleyan University. She has a desire to get a double major in multicultural studies and international community development. So as Bill shared this morning, we don't see her sticking around in the United States very much once she finishes her degree. We feel that God has put a call on both our children's lives, and we're very grateful for that. So if I get weepy, it's not because I'm not happy. It's just the emotion. So we wanted to take you on a journey this morning to the country, as Doug referred to, your neighbor, down in Mexico. But your first stop, obviously, coming from Georgia, would be going through Texas, and you'd stop off in McAllen, Texas, right here on the edge of the Texas-Mexico border. And there you would find Bill and Betsy Tarr. They've already been mentioned this morning, but we've been delighted to have them there. God has heard and answered prayer, and we keep praying for more missionaries. But God sent the Tars to us this past year in a very needy time for the school. We have Taylor Christian School and Taylor Community Center, and he also sent us Debbie McKelvey. And so we're very blessed that God has sent missionaries, and we keep praying for more. And that is one of our prayer requests that we'll share later. But we just thank you for praying for missionaries, and that the Tars heard and answered that call and that prayer. If you come on down, you'll come to Monterey, then you'll come down to Saltillo. Chrissy Greenwell was here a few years back. She's there, and thank the Lord, there's a young couple there that's short-term, but praying to be long-term, so you can pray for them, the Bo Cooks. Then if you come on down 500 more miles, you'll come down to León. Dennis and Twana Johnson were here last year, and they send their greetings to you. And then if you come an hour from León, you'll come to our house in Irapuato. So we'd love for you to come visit us. We'll give you this map. And you can choose whatever road you want. You know, we don't care. But, you know, good luck. Choose a road and come find us. And probably many of you would say, no thanks. I really don't want to drive through Mexico. It's a long road. It's sometimes can be dangerous from the reports that we hear, but we thank the Lord that he has been very gracious and he has kept us safe on the many miles that we go up and down that road. But I say, you know, choose whatever road you would want. And you'd look at me and you say, you're crazy. I'm not going to just choose any road. I want to get to your house. But if you look and you listen to people, maybe in your neighborhood, maybe at your work, they will tell you, I'm a good person. All roads get to heaven. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm sure I'll make it there. And yet, from our perspective and looking at this map, we would say, you're crazy. Because we know that Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And that's what God has put up on our hearts. He compelled us 20 years ago to answer the call to be a missionary. As Doug alluded, I grew up in a missionary family from Burundi, Africa. My brother Jonathan Mayo and his family are back in Uganda. My sister is with her family, David and Debbie Hawk, are down in El Salvador. And I thank the Lord for the blessings that he has given us as growing up as missionary kids, and then the blessings that our children received growing up as missionary kids. And I just thank the Lord for that. For that call that he put on our hearts 20 years ago, and that it still burns in our heart. As Doug said, it has been a hard country. We've seen people come and go. But we know that God is still on the throne. We are assured in his word that his arm is not shortened. And I want to encourage you today. Maybe you're discouraged in what's going on in your life. Maybe it's a financial need. Maybe it's a loved one. Because we know that we are in a world full of lost people. Just as you would be on this map. If I just gave it to you and said, come on down, you would be lost. And there are people lost around us. And yet Jesus says, tell them that I love them. And you think maybe investing what you have is not enough. But I want to assure you that God can take whatever we give him if we're giving him the very best. I'm not talking about the crumbs that are left over. I'm talking about when we give him our very best. Whatever he's calling us to do, whether it's going across the street to tell your neighbor that Jesus loves them, whether it's investing in one of the college students, whether it's investing in the leisures to go to Uganda, whether it's investing in us, whether it's investing in Lizette to go to Kenya, whoever and whatever God may put on your heart, if you're obedient to him, he will bless. And somebody back in the 70s gave a bit of money that they probably thought was maybe to them pocket change. And yet they gave it to WGM to put into an investment for a Bible Institute back in the 70s. I was in high school in the 70s. I had no earthly clue that this fund even existed until one day our treasurer from headquarters called and asked us what we could tell him about this investment fund for a Bible Institute. And Bill and I looked at each other and we go, what Bible Institute? We have theological education classes to train teachers, to train leaders, to train pastors, but we don't have a Bible Institute. And we said, can you tell us about it? We don't know anything about it. And he said, well, let me get back to you. At the same time, and we know it was no coincidence, the Mexico field had given us permission to look for housing in Irapuato. We've been in Irapuato for almost 20 years, come and go, give or take. And it was time to show the national church that we meant business, that we were sticking around. And so we had permission from the field to buy a house in Irapuato. And so we thought with the little bit of money we had, we would look. We were greatly shocked by the prices once we started looking. But we thought, well, we'll just keep looking because we know God has a place for us. At the same time, we didn't want just a house. We wanted something that we could open up to the church for their Bible classes, for their theological education classes that meet once a month. And we wanted them and us, we wanted to work together. So we didn't want just a house. And then about this time, as I mentioned, Brent called and asked us about this investment fund that we had going that we didn't know anything about. And when he called back, the amount that had been given in the 70s had grown to $120,000. And we say, thank you, Jesus. Because with that amount that was given back that so many years ago that probably nobody thought much about, and with the amount that we had in our housing fund, we were able to buy a property that had not only one house, but two houses, and an unfinished building where we're going to build in our building that Bible Institute. Because over the years, we have seen the lack of trained leaders. We have seen the lack of trained pastors. I could count on both hands the amount of truly trained pastors that we have that are ministering to our churches in Mexico. And we know if they're not trained, whatever evil wind comes their way, if they're not trained and if they don't know the truth, how are they going to tell the truth to the people that are in their congregations? And if you walk out our door and go down the street, you'll find a little convenience store. And on my way to the convenience store one day with a team member that had come down to work on the community on the Bible Institute, a lady who was standing in the street as we came back from the convenience store. And she stopped us. I thought she just wanted to say hi. I thought she was waiting for someone to pick her up. But she stopped me and she said, she didn't ask me why I was joyful. She asked me, why do you have such peace? Needless to say, I was blown away. Because how can you tell when someone's at peace unless in your own heart you are not at peace? And I said, it's because I have the joy of Jesus Christ in my heart. And on our street, every home has a gate in front of it, and it's very hard to get into people's homes. But she invited us in so that we could tell her about Jesus. We had to leave because her husband was coming home. She told us she was in a very abusive situation, that her husband was bipolar. And if he saw us in there telling her about Christ, you can imagine what would be the outcome to that situation. But she wants to know more about Jesus. And that's why we're there. Or if someone knocks on our gate looking for work, looking for some food to feed her family, like happened back in April. Her name is Terry. She was looking for a job. I said, well, I don't really have much for you to do, but you can come in and sweep. You can imagine with 20 teenagers, we have a little dirt on our floor. And so she came in, and while she was sweeping, I was in the kitchen fixing lunch. And I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, do not let her leave until you tell her, I love her. So I had the privilege and the joy of sharing Jesus Christ with her. And she left a changed woman. She accepted Christ into her heart. So even if you don't ever come all the way down to Mexico and visit us, we hope you will. We'd love to have you. But if you can remember people like Martha and Terry and our pastors and leaders who will come through the Bible Institute so that a new generation will be raised up. We so desperately need that in Mexico. We're less than 1%, not 10%, not 2%, less than 1%. If there's 100 people in here in this room today, one of you is a Christian. So pray for us. It's a hard country. They have strong traditions, strong religious traditions that make it very hard to open doors. But it's not us. It's the Holy Spirit who is moving and opening hearts and opening doors and giving us opportunities that we didn't even know we had until people come knocking on our door or stopping us in the street. So I ask that you will pray for Satan's strongholds to be torn down, chains to be broken, and people set free. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father except through him. May his name be glorified.
As Lydia was sharing, it is one of the things that kind of grips you, that the fact that people ask us about this a lot. Well, and we have people come up and say, well, let's see, you're in Mexico, it's a Catholic country, right? So, and you can start to see their thinking going on here. So they've heard the name of Jesus, they have a Bible. So why are you there? Are you in the jungle with a tribe or in the mountains with a group of Indians that never come out to civilization? Why would you be there? And once again, we're reminded, just like we have been reminded so well by our evangelists so far this camp meeting, that it's not about religion. We're not going to Mexico to bring another religion. Only thing we have is Jesus. Only thing we have is a tremendous relationship one-on-one with our Creator through His Son, Jesus Christ. And until people know that, they can hear the name of Jesus all their lives. But until they know Him, they have nothing. They're still lost. And so we do. We deal with a what I would call a superstitious religious tradition that's been mixed up for centuries with what was brought over from Spain, as well as the pagan religions and traditions that were already there. And so sometimes you see that, you don't always think about it until Easter comes along, especially. You're reminded. We see all kinds of suffering. We see all kinds of things going on that people would try to do to make themselves worthy and feel the pain and agony that Jesus went through. But the unfortunate truth is they leave him there. They leave him on the cross. They leave him in the tomb. And they forget about the risen, victorious Savior that paid the price for us and is victorious over sin and death. Because when Sunday rolls around, things quiet down and it's just another Sunday. And very little attention is ever paid to the real key to the whole thing, that He is risen. And we're there to tell people that He is risen. We're there to tell them about that relationship. And sometimes it is only through living out that relationship that people take the time and to want to know, like Martha, want to know what makes it different. What is that different spirit about you that makes you so different? And how can I hear about that? I'd like to share a song with you if I can at this time. And it talks a lot about the fact that we all misjudge the things that we have to give to the Lord many times, because so many times we underestimate the potential and the power that is within us as the Holy Spirit is allowed to work, as the Holy Spirit is allowed to take full control of our lives. And no matter how great or how small, whatever we have to give, as long as it's everything, God can use it in a powerful way. Just like to share with you a verse of scripture a couple of verses that are very familiar, I'm sure, to all of you, but also mean a lot to us and over the years and in missions and how God works in our lives. And that is found in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. And I'll read that for you. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I want to stop there for a moment and say, we do thank you so much for being a part, not only of our ministry, but of God's ministry, being chosen and called of Him as you've received the blood of Jesus Christ in your life and cleansed of all sin and empowered by the Holy Spirit, that you're involved. You're involved in so many ways. And there's no just one way to be involved, is there? But we thank God for your involvement. And in every prayer of mine, as we're reminded of you, and you're reminded of us, and as we lift one another up in prayer, that His name would be glorified, but also that His kingdom would go forth and new lives would come in to the family of God. And then it goes on to say, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that He's not through with us yet? Aren't you glad that it's a process, that God has a hold of our lives, but it's not over? He's not going to leave me, as Doug was saying, you know, I married up. And so, He's not going to leave me the way I am, thank the Lord. And He's going to continue to perfect and make me and mold me into His image. And so I'm thankful for that. I'll never forget when Lydia and I were first married. You know, we were married. It was one of those deals where it was a blind date, she had to be blind. Doug would have said she had to be blind to have a date with me. I'll just do that for you, Doug, so you don't have to. We had some mutual friends that put us together and on a blind date on a Valentine's Day banquet. Very corny. thing, but it all worked out, you know, and 5 months later, the Lord just laid on our hearts that this was the one. And so we got married, and it was that first missions conference that I was in that really made a difference in my life. I grew up in, I was adopted at birth from a home for unwed mothers. And so my life could have turned out a lot differently. But I thank her, even though I'll never know her until Jesus comes, I thank her for the right choice after a wrong choice, and that she gave me life that I could serve my Lord and Savior. The good news is there's always a solution after the problem, isn't there? And so I grew up in a pastor's home and all that, but I never really thought about missionaries as being someone that I identified with. They were always up there on a pedestal in my mind, you know, and they came and went and spoke, and they were just great and amazing. But the Lord spoke to me one day in a missions conference at the Methodist church we were going to, and we had a little different setup, and that was when the missionaries were with us all the time, and they talked to us and about all these things and personal, and the Lord started to speak to my life and my heart, and He said, "You know, Bill, you're a lot like this guy, but the difference between him and you is that he said yes to me. And you always thought it was your ability that I'd be after, that you needed to have a certain quality, a certain talent, a certain something. But it's not that at all. It's not your ability that I'm after. It's your availability to me. And if you'll say yes to me, I want to use you in a special way." Well, the thing that still grips my heart to this day, to think that our Creator, our glorious God, wants and desires to use every one of us in a special way. Many special ways in many cases. But to think that our personal God is just waiting for us to open that door. And how many times have we kept the door shut? How many times have we left it closed to Him when all we had to do was open it and say, "I don't know what you can use from me, but it's all yours." And so I was really fired up and pumped up, as you can imagine. You know, God had spoken to me. You know, He's got something to use me for. I mean, there's a difference here that God has spoken to me. So we're on our way home. We're still in the first year of marriage. And I'm driving, and I was thinking, well, you know, we're going someplace to the mission field. I know it. You know, we got to get packed. We got to look for tickets. We got to look for all this stuff. You know, I don't know where it is, but I know the little I know about missions is that you got to go somewhere primitive, and it's got to be far away. And that's what missionaries do. So I thought, okay, well, I'll speak to Lydia here. You know, I'm driving. I said, "Honey, weren't the missionaries wonderful, and the music was just so great, and the speakers, and don't you feel like God is talking to our hearts and telling us that we need to go out and be missionaries?" And if she was up here next to me, she'd turn and go, "No, not really." And I go, "It's okay, God. I know you're a busy man up there, a busy God, but, you know, this is a great opportunity for you to talk to her, because you already talked to me, and I'm still driving home, and I'll let you two have a little time together." And but it wasn't that way. It was a way that God opened my heart and life to missions that I didn't realize I was so close to. And the fact is that here's my missionary kid wife, grew up in Africa. I thought I would always be the stumbling block, right? But no, it wasn't that way. But as we prayed and as I sought God, we realized that He wanted us to work in missions at that time right where we were. And it was just a wake-up call for me. And as time passed, we worked in different areas of missions through our local church, went on mission trips, did other things, and we found something incredible in our lives because we had a peace of God, because we had made a commitment to Him that whatever door He opened for us, we would walk through it by faith. And that's what we started to do. And later on, in another missions conference, years after, and I won't go into all that happened in those times, but we looked at each other and we knew it was time. He stirred our hearts. He took the peace away and put it out there somewhere. And as many missionaries would tell you, We had to go out and find it. We knew the peace was out there for us. And we went down to Mexico. We had the opportunity. We were in Texas. We were from the Dallas area. And so we thought, well, we'll just jump on a cheap flight and go down there. We got an invitation from the field director. Heard a lot of good things about McAllen, Mexico, and all the rest from WGM. We had looked all over and applied to different organizations, and this seemed to be the door that was opening. And he took us down to Saltillo. And we sat in an adobe house behind a church and listened to a language we didn't know much about yet, Spanish. And then all of a sudden, the missionary turns to us and he says, Hermano Rosario wants to know, can you stay? We really need your help here. Is there any way you can help us? It's a funny thing, after 20 years, that it's just like it was yesterday. We knew we couldn't stay, obviously, at that moment. But God used that moment to put the peace back in our hearts and say, this is what I have for you. This is what I want you to come back to. This is where I need you. And I want to use you. And so we're excited that God spoke to our hearts that way. And that He had started a good work in us and continues to complete it. And one other thing I want to share about that is that I really wasn't planning on sharing. But you know, there are times when we look in the Old Testament and we see Abraham and Joshua and others that build monuments for things when God has moved, when God has made a difference, when there's been a great movement of God or an act of God, they build a monument that they can come back to. And the children will see it and they'll go, what is that, Daddy? Can you tell me why that we have this big pile of rocks right here? And he'll say, well, let me tell you what God did. Let me tell you how God moved that day. And there's been times, I have to confess, that it's not easy on the mission field. There's times when there's actually conflicts. Can you believe that? And obviously the enemy doesn't want us there either. But there's been moments when I've been back up in Saltillo, and I'll slip away, and I'll go into that little front room of that adobe house, and I'll be reminded of what God did for me that day. And I'll be reminded of why I'm there. And He'll remind me that, don't worry, everything's fine. I'm in control. You just keep on fighting the good fight. And let me handle it. I just want to share that with you because I believe we need those monuments in our lives, those reminders sometimes of why we're where we are with God and why He has us where we are, so we might be able to be encouraged and reminded of why God has us there and the purpose He has for us and the fact that He truly is in control, not us. It's not about us. It's not about us missionaries. I mean, this is missionary day, but this is really God's commissioning day. I want to share with you a story about a man by the name of Francisco. Francisco and his wife came down to Irapuato, where we are, in pursuit of a job that he was transferred down there with his job. And yet Francisco had a burden on his heart. He felt God leading him to be a pastor. He felt God leading him into ministry. But he didn't know what to do with that. They were attending a small, was a home church. And then it became a little larger church thanks to the ministry of Dani and Carmina Pineda, some Honduran missionaries that are also ministering with us side by side. We're excited to have missionaries from other countries come and work alongside of us. They're such a blessing. And Donnie and Carmina were assigned there to raise this church up and mature this church. And there was Francisco and his wife Maribel. And he was struggling greatly with this call of God on his life. They had come from northern Mexico down for his job. And they looked around and they couldn't see through his eyes where he could serve. So he thought, well, you know, I'm ready. I can't stand this anymore, but I'm going to follow God. And I'm going to go back up to Torreon, where I came from. And I know I can find a way to minister up there. If that's what it takes, God, I'll do it. Well, at the same time, Donnie Pineda was praying for a man to take over for that church. Donnie and Carminda are church planters, and they had brought this church up to a wonderful point. And they were training leaders, and things were happening. God was moving. But they knew they weren't staying. But they didn't know who God had to take over for that church. And so one day Francisco came to Donnie, and he just had to share his heart. And he said, Donnie, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do, but God is calling me to be a pastor. And I don't know what I should do. And he started to share all about his calling. And Donnie knew right away that God was answering his prayer, that this was the man. Just like David was anointed to be king that day, all of a sudden, it just Donnie knew in his heart that this was the man to take over. And so Francisco entered. He started to be discipled and mentored by Donnie, and he entered our Bible Training Institute along with his wife Maribel, and they've been in that for 3 years. And Donnie has since moved on and planning a new church in Querétaro. But Francisco took over, and God has used him in mighty, powerful ways, and his wife Maribel as well. And to see the fact that truly he is God's man there, and the fact that they're going to graduate now from our Bible Institute with their degree in August. And the prayer request I have is that, as Lydia mentioned, the building that we're building for the Bible Institute, we have promised that we will have it ready for graduation by August 26th, and that we will dedicate the building and graduate our first graduating class of Bible students that day. So pray with us for that moment, because it's coming fast, and we're excited about it as well. And so Francisco is now pastoring this church, and not only is he pastoring this church, they're starting another church. So all of a sudden, the mother church that we had in Irapuato that Lady and I were privileged to help start it back in 94 is now a grandma and has grandchildren. And so we're excited the way God is moving, because he who has begun a good work is faithful to continue and complete it in his precious name. I'm reminded also of another couple in Valle de Santiago, where we have a mission work as well. And the fact is that this young couple, we were there for one of the services. It's just a mission work that has just been started. But this couple by the name of Isai and Elvira is how we would say it in English. We were talking with them after the service, and we were going to take them home. They were doing the music that they've become a very vital part of that mission work. And we were talking with her and him and asking about their family. And she said, well, yes, I have 17 children. I said, 17 children? Well, actually, I have 5, is it, of my own. But all these other children come to my house every day, and so I call them my own. And they call me mom, even though they have their mothers at home. But they live in a very difficult neighborhood of drugs and alcohol. And many times the children are left to roam and do their own thing, no matter what age they are, where the older ones take care of the younger ones and so forth. But their hearts are to minister to these kids, and they've started a Bible club, and they started a children's ministry. And now they have 35 children, and they're looking at probably having 50 children shortly, because the word's getting out. And so he's a baker, and he bakes for another man. But his heart and his vision that God has given him is that if he could be able to bake his own things, and he has the equipment available to him to start his own bakery, what he needs and what he's praying for is a pickup truck. And why that's important is because he realizes that he's able then to go out to these small towns and villages around, as many of the other bakers do. But his purpose is to evangelize. As part of what Lydia and I have chosen for our verse in Ephesians, that we evangelize, equip, and empower. And so we're hoping we can come alongside him and find a way that we can get him that vehicle, that he can't open his own bakery for the glory of God and allow him to move out. And he's even thought about putting little verses on sweet bread or something. I don't know. He's got all kinds of ideas that God has given him. And to be able to empower him to reach others for Jesus Christ is just thrilling and exciting. Because he who has started a good work in their lives is surely going to complete it and surely going to continue. I want to share one other thing with you if I can. We're returning to Mexico. We just came up to Mexico for this camp because we promised Doug that we would. And so we flew out of Mexico City a few days before, and now we're here, and we'll be leaving to go back next week and back, and just in time for our own family camp, because we have family camp as well at the end of July, up in the mountains outside of Monterey and Saltillo up in the north. And so be in prayer for that camp, because even though it's fairly primitive at this time, God always meets us there. He always meets us there. When Lydia and I were... One other thing I'd like to share is that when Lydia and I were in our second ministry, we were working in another church in Irapuato by the name of Lázaro. And we were in a warehouse. We had a little, church furniture, some planks, and we had some cinder blocks, and we had a little platform made out of pallets and a little stack of milk crates that worked very well for a pulpit. Because, see, I'm not as tall as some of you, and so I can, take about four of those, and then if you come to preach, we'll just put another one and stack it on there for Bert to preach, as he's a lot taller than I am. So we adjust it depending on who's going to be speaking. Very, very useful. Anyway, what I want to share with you is that many times we'd have alcohol. Alcoholism was a big problem. We'd have drunks on the weekends. And many times we'd have one of them come into our service. We had a warehouse we were renting. We had big doors that were open, and anyone could come in. And one of the fellows that would come in many times was named Antonio. And you see, Antonio learned one of our choruses when he would come in, and it was called Alabaré. And so when Antonio came in, it didn't matter if we were being very spiritual or praying or whatever it might be, but it had to do with announcing himself by saying, Alabaré! And we knew Antonio was with us once again. And so this was no different. As Antonio came in, he announced himself and so forth, and he wandered around and sat down some. And the way things would end in our little service was that we were still working in our mother church across the way, and we'd have to finish our service real quickly and early and get on and get across and get people home and everything, and people would just pour out of that warehouse and get on with their day. And usually when Antonio would come, he would leave just as quickly as he came, and we wouldn't even notice he was gone. He would just walk off and on his way for the rest of his day and so forth. But this day was different. You see, Antonio, when I came out of the doors, Antonio was standing there in the street, and he was confused and uncertain as to where to go. And so, as I looked at him, God spoke to my heart, and he said, take care of this man. Well, I didn't know what that really meant, but I knew I had to do something. And so I went over to him, and I put my arm around him, and I put his arm over my shoulder, and we headed down the street. Well, I knew I had to find some place to take him to, and I didn't know where that was going to lead. And as I asked people around me, I said, do you know this man? Have you ever seen this man? And whether they did or not, they said no. And so I kept going up one street and down another. And finally I said, Lord, how far do I have to go with this man? How far do I have to take this man? And he said, how far have I gone with you? And how far have I taken you? And I knew I had to find a way to get him home, no matter what it took. Well, the Lord brought that person to me right after that, and he seemed to know where he lived, and so I was able to get some idea of directions and got around to his house, which was partially burned down and reconstructed with all kinds of eclectic materials. Knocked on the door, and his mom opened the door, and her eyes got so wide and so big. And she just hugged him, and she looked across at me, across his shoulder, and said, "Oh, gracias, hermano." You see, that's the way we Christians in Spanish greet each other, brother, hermano, and sister, hermana. And I never met this woman before. How does she know I was a Christian? And so as she invited me in, and Antonio went off to sleep, and we talked longer, she said, "Oh, gracias, hermano. Thank you, brother, for bringing my Antonio home to me. You see, he's been missing for 2 days. And I've been praying to the Lord that he would bring someone to bring my Antonio home to me. And you, hermano, are the answer to my prayer." I share that with you today as a reminder that as I look across at each one of you, I see some tremendous answers to prayer that are going to happen in the future. As you're obedient to divine appointments that God puts in your life and heart, and as you follow His direction in everything you do, great things are going to happen. I just want to share that Doug's going to ask me, so I better get it out now. That talking about that Bible Institute and that Bible students that we have studying, we need to, that couple I mentioned, the baker and his wife, their hearts are hungry to study, but they don't have the money. We have another couple in the town of Panjamo, which is also another mission work of ours, that have shared their hearts with us, and they feel the call of God on their lives to be in full-time Christian service, but they don't have the money. And so what it usually costs for them per class per month is $25, if I was to put it into dollars. And so we're looking for 4 people to take a sponsorship for those people to be able to study and to be a part of what they have for them, what God has for them, and to be able to complete their studies and go into full-time Christian service. So I wanted to challenge you with that. And also, we do have at our camp right now men putting up the roof on our tabernacle. And so we're hoping and praying and confident that God is going to get that done. And we're going to have the roof on the tabernacle and be dried in so we don't have to meet in one of the dormitories again. And because it rains every year at camp, that's our tradition. And so, but it's going to take another $3,000 to finish the roof. And I wanted to share that with you. And we appreciate it. Doug, would you come? I want to thank you all for the time and just for the love that we share and Jesus and just the heart that we share for missions. God bless you.